get ready.
Man, I don't ever want to be so woke that me and the KKK are out here agreeing on the same shit. Before they were killing people to keep us from voting, now we talk ourselves out of the shit.
For real talk.
Before you get out here live wrong talking about minimum wages and starter jobs, educate yourself on why the minimum wage was created in the first damn place.
All the time.
You shouldn't be the same person you was 10 years ago. You should be growing towards a better you every day. And the only ones who will be threatened by that are the ones who refuse to grow and are scared their ass gonna get left behind.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Those wanting money, those the ones I like, cause they don't get Nathan but penetration. Unless it smells like sanitation, garbage I turn like doorknobs. Heartthrob never, black and ugly as ever. However, I stay Gucci down to the socks. Rings and watch filled with rocks. And my jam not in your Mitsubishi. Girls pee-pee when they see me. Navajos creep me and they teepee. As I lay down laws like Island Coppet. Stop it, if you think you're gonna make a profit. Don't see my ones, don't see my guns, get it? Now tell your friends, Papa hit it, then split it in two as I flow with the Junior Mafia. I don't know what the hell's stopping ya. I'm clocking ya, Versace shade watching ya. Once you grin, I'm in game again. First I talk about how I dress is this and diamond necklaces, stretch Lexuses. The sex is just immaculate. From the back I get deeper and deeper, help you reach the climax that your man can't make. Call him, tell him you'll be home real late and sing the break. I got that good love, girl, you didn't know.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 254 of the report, and right now we're rocking out to some old Biggie Smalls, man. One more chance. Rock out with your boy.
Worked his until I handled my biz. There I is, major pain like Damon Wayans. Low down dirty even like his brother Keenan scheming. Don't leave your girl around me, true player for real. Ask Puff Daddy. You ringing bells with bags from Chanel. Baby Ben's traded in your Hyundai XL. Fully equipped CD changer with the cell. She beat me, at 12. Where you at? Flipping job, playing car notes. While I'm swimming in your women like the breaststroke. Right stroke, left stroke, what's the best stroke? Death stroke, tongue all down the throat. Nothing left to do but send her home to you. I'm through. Can you sing the song for me, boo?
Yes, indeed, y'all. This is episode number 254 of the Span Report. It is a Saturday afternoon here in Michigan, man. I hope everybody's good. I hope everybody's 4th of July weekend slash middle of the work day, middle of the week holiday shit was safe and healthy and plentiful of food and all that other good stuff. Let me turn this off. But yeah, man, it is episode 254. And yo, man, it's been hot over here. It's been like blazing. Like, so much so that I ain't felt like recording. Real talk. Like, normally I turn my air conditioner off because it's loud in the motherfucker. But, yo, man, y'all gonna have to deal. Y'all gonna have to deal tonight because, yeah, man, it's been baking up in here, man. We've been in here cooking like two rotisserie chickens up here in the Span residence, man. But we got that shit fixed today. And so we can get us some motherfucking podcasting going on this evening, man. But, of course, before we get into everything that we're gonna talk about tonight, I do need to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can go ahead and hit us up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave voicemails there for us. We will reply to those voicemails here live on the show. We will play those voicemails here live on the show. And if you're watching the show live here on Facebook, you can also call into the show and chop it up with your man Span while we're doing this right here live on these Facebook streets, right? Also, you can hit us up at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. That's our email address, and you can email us here. We'll reply to those emails here live on this show as well. And again, that email is feedback@thespanreport.com. You can also follow your man Span on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me there. Chop it up with your man Span throughout the week at Mr_Span. You can also do us a favor here. Do us a real big solid here at the Span Report Podcast, man, by leaving us an iTunes and or Stitcher review. The 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show, man. So those are the ones. That's one way to help the show grow. It doesn't cost you a dime. Just 2 minutes of your time. Just letting everybody else know why you fucking with us over here at the Span Report Podcast Network, right? So go ahead, leave those 5-star reviews, and we will thank you here live here on the show. And we will read your review here live on the show also. You can go to our website at www.thespanreport.com. That's www.thespanreport.com. You can go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls there. You can leave comments there. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And of course, we appreciate every dime over here at the Span Report Podcast Network as we try to transition the shows off of Facebook and go back to Crowdcast, man. So every little bit helps when it comes to moving this stuff around, man, getting us the hell up off of Facebook, because Facebook be on some bullshit, man. Real talk, we broadcasting live on Facebook right now, but y'all be on some bullshit. I mean, it is what it is, but yeah, man, everybody who can go ahead and donate to us there at the website is very much appreciated. You can join our Patreon and become, you know, that can be a recurring donation situation. We have a $2 level, a $5 level, and a $10 level over at the our Patreon. Those links will also be available in the show notes. So if you don't get around to going to the website, all you gotta do when you pull up your podcast, when you pull up this podcast and every other episode of the podcast, all of these links will be available in the show notes so that you can go ahead, click it right from your phone, and boom, it'll take you where you need to go, right? And that is it. That is it for all of the business, man. It's been 4th of July weekend. And as you guys know, every 4th of July weekend, as of late, man, you know, you got the battle of the wokes and you got the battle of the people who just simply don't give a shit. And it's been, you know, for me personally, I'm just more so like, I'm kind of like in the camp of don't really give a shit. I'm just happy that I got the holiday, right? I got the day off. You know what I mean? It's been kind of cool for me lately, though, because, you know, now, like, I can, you know, at work, I got pretty much any day I want. I can get it off now. So that's pretty cool. So, like, you know, there's a whole bunch of dudes who, you know, they had to go to work Friday. Like, it's kind of some bullshit. But but your man didn't. I will be taking my ass in tomorrow, though, you know, going to get that bread, you know. But the holiday, man, it's become increasingly one of my least favorite holidays, 4th of July. I remember when I was a kid, it wasn't so much that, you know, because when you're a kid, you're not really inundated with the political messages and, you know, you don't really have to think about a whole hell of a lot. Like, kids look at these holidays like, yo, this is the time I get to go see, you know, my cousins that I haven't seen in a while, or, you know, this is time for the barbecues. A lot of people, you know, kind of plan their family reunions around the 4th of July and whatnot. And, you know, for the kids, man, it's just like, yo, man, I get to play with some sparklers and eat some hot dogs off of the barbecue grill. I get to play basketball or like football with my cousins. I get to see, you know, my uncles and my grandmas and all that other stuff. It's a good time for folks. And, like, real talk, I know a lot of people, you know, when it comes to the wokes, man, like, sometimes you're like, y'all know this ain't our holiday. Like, yeah, man, but can we just at least have a day off? Can we celebrate that? Can we celebrate having the day off? And I kind of wish when we talked about this about Juneteenth last episode, I believe, when we talked about Juneteenth and, you know, the fact that we don't have that holiday off. And so it doesn't really register as a holiday for a lot of people because, yo, they still got to take their asses to work. So when you got to go to work, you're just like, wait a minute, man, is this some real shit? You know, and I think it has that effect. I think if more and more states actually put some concrete celebration behind Juneteenth, then we would actually, I think, folks would appreciate that a bit more. But when it comes to the 4th of July, although we know as black people that the 4th of July wasn't necessarily for us, In this day and time, having that day off of work, and for some of us, it being a paid holiday off, yo, man, it's just a good time to get around family, play some cards, man, talk shit with your people, tell them you love them and stuff, you know, and go back into your, you know, your regular life, because everybody's tied up into their own shit. So, yeah, man, it's always good. Now, the one thing that it used to be my favorite thing about the 4th of July was the fact that, yo, man, people used to, you know, do the fireworks and shit. Now, truth be told, like, now I'm not so much excited about the fireworks much anymore. Like, you know, it's just the thing of, you know, people just don't know how to, like, let a good thing, you know, like, just let a good thing be a good thing for that time. And you got you got motherfuckers still letting off fireworks in August. You like, come on, bro. Like, for real, why didn't you have your grand finale that night? You know what I'm saying? Why you still out here doing this shit? And that's my thing, man. And they coming up in the hood, and after so many years, man, you start, like, you know, knowing what goes down in the hood sometimes. But, like, yo, man, you don't know if somebody's, like, lighting off firecrackers to cover up the fact that they're trying to shoot somebody that night. So, yeah, man, it's just, like, it's a whole bunch of different stuff, man. I'm just going to say this. I hope everybody had a joyous 4th of July. I hope you guys had a good time. I hope you got a chance to see family. I hope you had a, you know, you filled your belly up with food and everything, man, and it was a good time, man, real talk. But, yeah, man, we're going to get right on into this show, and we're going to start off with the news. All right, our first story in the news, man, has had the internet in a motherfucking tizzy, man. Like, y'all been losing y'all minds over this, and it ain't the story that y'all think I'm about to talk about, but we are going to talk about that a little bit later. But y'all been losing y'all minds over this shit. So apparently, some young lady decided that she was going to go into a grocery store, and she was going to lick a tub of Bluebell ice cream and put that shit back on the shelf. Well, apparently, her ass has been found. All right, we're reading this story here. This comes out of NBCNews.com. It says, the woman seen licking ice cream in a viral video faces up to 20 years in jail, the police say. 20 fucking years. It says, Texan creamery Bluebell said all 10 roof-flavored tubs possibly affected by in a malicious act of food tampering have been pulled from store shelves. The woman filled licking the tub of ice cream and returned it to a grocery store shelf in a viral video last week is facing up to 20 years in prison, police said Thursday. The footage, which has been viewed more than 11 million times, shows a so far unnamed woman opening a container, running her tongue across the ice cream, then laughing as she places the violated dessert back in the freezer in a branch of Walmart in the city of Lufkin, Eastern Texas. Police said on Wednesday they believed that they had identified the suspect after detectives had obtained surveillance video placing a woman matching the suspect's description in the Lufkin store on June 28th around 11 p.m. They are waiting to finally verify her identity before issuing a search warrant. Now, apparently there's been an update to this particular story. This woman has been found, and it turns out that this, like, she's like less than, she's not even 17 years old. I think she's like 16 years old. So it's a kid. Right? It's a kid. And you know what? Low-key, like, I kind of felt like, yeah, that was some kiddy stupid shit to do. Like, that's that shit where, like, I remember my uncle used to tell me years ago, man, when I was a teenager, like, yo, teenagers think they know everything, but they don't really know shit. Like, they still got that whole kiddish thing going on with them. And that was a kiddish-ass prank. Ironically, though, because there was some copycat motherfuckers who were doing this, y'all might not necessarily have the same excuse. What the fuck's wrong with y'all? Right? All them people that was going out doing, like, being clout chasers and shit, being fucking followers in the like worst sense of the word. Yeah, y'all got some splaining to do. I mean, as she does too. I mean, but again, she was a kid. But they were talking about she may be facing you know, up to 20 years in prison. It says she could face a second degree felony charge of tampering with the consumer product, the Lufkin Police Department said in an email statement to NBC News. The charge comes with 2 to 20 year prison term and up to $10,000 a fine, according to the state. Texas State Penal Code. Investigators are also in discussions with the FDA, and additional federal charges could be made. Now, truth be told, like, I thought what she did was stupid. I thought, you know, like, okay, I just saw it. I'm like, yeah, what's wrong? First time I saw it, I'm like, yo, what's wrong with people, right? But then after I started seeing other people doing it, it was like, you know, what's really wrong with people. But when I heard that they were talking about, yo, she could get up to 20 years for doing that, like, ah, that's a bit much. Y'all, I mean, yo, just, like, give her a slap or give her a fine or some shit like that. You know, maybe a night in jail. I don't know. But, like, just give her, like, a hefty fine. Make sure that she knows that some responsibilities or some consequences should be meted out for this stupid shit. But, yo, man, 20 years, that's stupid. And then you find out that she's only, like, 16, 17 years old. And you're like, ah, okay. I mean, it's crazy. And I know, like, people were, like, all up and down the timeline, like, yo, man, they need to lock her ass up. They need to put her ass in jail. And then it didn't help. It didn't help that somebody with a similar username on Instagram as her was actually catfishing the entire thing, claiming responsibility for it, talking about she was sick and that she licked the top of the ice cream while she was sick. And so now she's trying to spread the flu. It just became like much, much, much larger than I'm sure that girl ever intended it to. And yeah, man, that's crazy. Another thing, too, is like another girl did this. And like she licked it or whatever, and then she said, "No, I went," like after she got backlash for it, like she went back and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I went back. I paid for it. It was just a joke. I just paid for it." Like, come on, man. I mean, everybody wants their 15 minutes, I guess. But yo, like to do something stupid in order to get it, I'm just saying, man. Yeah, that was dumb. That was fucking dumb. That's in the news. Another story that's in the news, and this is a bit more serious, is the fact that the 2020 census is coming up, and there has been some gamesmanship being played, some political gamesmanship being played by the Trump administration and various civil rights organizations as to whether or not there should be a citizenship question asked on the 2020 census. And they're about to start printing out these the questionnaires that everyone gets. They're about to start printing those out pretty soon because they got upwards of 300 million of these to print out. So we're going to read the story here. It comes out of the hill.com. It says that Trump is actually considering an executive order on citizenship question for the census.
What?
It says that he was considering an executive order. Okay. So it says President Trump told reporters on Friday that he is considering an executive order to ensure a citizenship question is included on the U.S. Census. Trump told reporters on the White House lawn that he has four or five options and is thinking of an executive order. He also said his administration could be begin printing the 2020 census and later include the question as part of an addendum. Trump also weighed in on the recent Supreme Court decision regarding the citizenship question. I have a lot of respect for Chief Justice John Roberts, but he didn't like it. But he did say, come back, Trump said. We could start the printing now and maybe do an addendum after we get a positive decision. The Supreme Court ruled 5-4 last week to block the citizenship question from appearing on the 2020 census for now, saying that the administration's argument that the question is needed to enforce a federal voting rights law didn't line up with the evidence provided in the case. The High Court directed the administration to come up with a new legal rationale for adding the question. Okay, so a couple things here. Off rip. When the Trump administration is talking about they're adding a citizenship question to better enforce voting rights, it's a crock of shit when that exact same fucking political party has been actively gutting voting rights across the goddamn country when it comes to state legislatures, when it comes to purging voters from the rolls, when it comes to closing polling places, when it comes to you know, not counting absentee ballots. They've gone out of their way to lessen the power of the minority vote or to disenfranchise minority voters. So the fact that they would actually try to use a citizenship question in order to further enhance the rights of people, in order to enhance the Voting Rights Act is pretty much, I mean, if you're paying attention, you know this is bullshit, right? Also, what's actually happening is what they want to do is if they can somehow add the citizenship question, what they're trying to do is dilute the minority. There's a changing. Okay, let me get my shit together. There's a changing demographic going on around the South, right? We're starting to see more and more of these southern states become more purple states, where you're seeing a demographic change where it comes from less and less white conservative people and more brown and black people who are more of a liberal slant, so to speak, right? And because you're starting to see a lot of people from the north move down south. I know a lot of people from here and in Chicago who are moving to places like Charlotte, moving to places like Atlanta, moving to places like Florida. Like more and more people from up north are kind of migrating back down south, and they're changing the demographics of how those states are made up. And so Republicans for so long have had an entrenched political stranglehold on the legislatures down there, that if they can somehow dilute the voting pools for people of color, then they will. This kind of helps them do so, especially when they consider especially when they try to consider the influx of illegal immigrants, right? So this is why they're really, really, really big on the immigrant question, and this is why they're going so hard at it, because what Republicans and what conservative white folks are seeing for themselves is them becoming a political minority. And if they become a political minority, then what they fear is, yo, what we've been doing to these minorities may somehow come back to bite us. So what they do is now what they've been like kind of scheming in the back end, like, yo, if we can get this question added to the census and we can portray it as something other than what it is, maybe we can preserve some level of power despite the fact that the demographics of these places are changing. And so this is what we talk about when we say Republicans end up playing the long game, because, yo, right now, Donald Trump he's appointed up to 50 federal judges. He's appointed 2 Supreme Court justices. They now have a 5-4 conservative majority on the Supreme Court. He kind of looks at the Supreme Court as it's going to be a rubber stamp on whatever it is he wants to get through. It's part of the reason why he thinks he can take on impeachment through the Supreme Court. Like, he could just go to the Supreme Court because he's appointed judges there. And he now has a 5-4 conservative majority. So he thinks that this is the way to kind of get around a lot of things by not going through the legislative process, but by doing things through the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court is telling him that, no, you can't add this question. You got to come back with another argument. The other interesting thing about that is, how many times do you get the law to tell you, like, well, you know what? We saying no this time, but go ahead, go get your shit together and then come back. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's some crazy shit that I think that's kind of fucked up that they're allowing, that they've already ruled on this, but it's like, you know what? Go ahead, get your shit together and come back. We might consider it again. Like, I think that's sort of fishy. But it says the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 last week to block the citizenship question from appearing on the 2020 census for now, saying that the administration's argument that the question is needed to enforce federal voting rights law didn't line up with the evidence. I read that part already. Initially, it seemed that the administration had given up on the idea of including the query, but Trump tweeted on Wednesday and Thursday that he intended to find a way to include the question on the census. Trump's remarks on Friday followed reports that he was mulling an executive order to add the controversial question to the census after the Supreme Court's ruling dealt the administration a significant setback. Here's the other part too. Trump doesn't necessarily respect that the court is an equal and separate branch of the government. So he's like, yo, well, fuck them then. If they say no, then I'll just go ahead and do it because I'm the president. And that's not how it works. Right? That's not how it works. But we've seen so far the Trump administration just kind of disregard subpoenas, disregard, you know, giving testimony when they're called before Congress to give testimony and everything else, disregard requests for records, you know, disregard a whole host of things. So when they've been able to kind of get away with this for so long, it's like, well, shit, what the fuck they gonna do? They can't do anything to us. And this is the attitude that they have right now. So be mindful and be watchful of what's going on with the census question, because the census question is going to have really have big results as far as when it comes to redistricting congressional districts, when it comes to how they allocate how many representatives a state is supposed to have when they go to Congress. This is every 10 years we go through this process. So it's very important that we pay attention to what's going on with that census and with that census question. So that's in the news. Another story. I think this is actually kind of this is actually a little bit more lighthearted, right? So here in Detroit, man, there was this there was this thing, man, where like some dudes, some people with some F-150s, not F-150s, some Dodge Chargers, some Dodge Challengers, blocked up the Lodge Freeway here in Detroit, and they decided they wanted to do donuts and burnouts and shit like that right in the middle of the freeway at night, right? And, you know, kids being kids, you know, they document everything. They tell on themselves because they put everything on social media. Much like we just kind of share our lives on social media too. And sometimes you can overshare. And one young lady is finding out that, yo, she probably overshared because her video is now responsible for at least one person getting arrested and 6 other people having their cars looked for to be impounded. So we're going to go to the story. It says this comes out of Fox2Detroit.com. It says that one arrested and six cars identified after a traffic block by drifters on the Lodge Freeway. So there's video attached to this story. So let me go ahead and pull this video up so you guys can watch right along with your boy. Let's do this here. All right. And let's check it out. See what the police talking about.
It's this video being viewed hundreds of thousands of times on social media that now has the attention of Detroit and state police.
We're asking the people that are breaking your law, please continue to post yourselves on social media.
The video showing a group of drivers blocking traffic on the Lodge Freeway near Livernois Friday night. At least one driver seen doing donuts. State police arriving minutes later.
He turned on his lights, and then naturally, as soon as they saw the lights, they took off.
But just hours after seeing the video, Detroit police arresting one of the accused drivers, a 25-year-old Canton man, for driving without a license. Detroit police already familiar with him and his green Dodge Charger Hellcat.
He took the warning. However, I guess he didn't really listen. So now his car is impounded.
Police also identifying six other cars involved.
And of the six cars we're investigating, the four of them live outside the city of Detroit.
And Detroit police say they're now investigating another video making its rounds on social media. This taken on Mount Elliott and 7 Mile a few months ago, the owner of 7 Mile Radio, Mark D, posting it Sunday.
So it goes on everywhere. Pull your resources together and, you know, do it in the an area where it's legal, you know, where nobody is potentially could be hurt.
I just wish that a lot of the car guys just contact me and I'll work it out with the chief and the police so we can have some place to go so we're not having a press conference on ignorance.
Detroit Police Chief James Craig says they're planning to increase traffic enforcement and do forensic reviews of the impounded cars at the driver's expense. He says in the last 3 months, the department issued more than 6,700 citations and impounded nearly 350 vehicles.
We find that if there's any criminality with that vehicle, you will never see that vehicle again. In fact, to show you what will happen to the vehicle,
try us,
and I promise you, that Hellcat will be ours.
Detroit police say more charges are expected against that driver from Canton, including reckless driving and malicious destruction of property in Detroit.
All right. So, here's the thing, man. Like, like I remember, like, when the Charger and the Challenger came out, like, it seemed like Dodge was just having a sale because them bitches was every fucking where. Like, everywhere. Dodge Chargers, Dodge Challengers, they all over the place. And you see these sorts of things going on. I remember years ago, they used to do this, like, they used to have drag races on Livernois between Warren and Joy Road. Like, they used to have, like, late at night, like, a whole hundreds of people would gather around and they would have drag races on some, like, Fast and the Furious kind of shit. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Fast and the Furious kind of shit. It used to happen right there on the west side on Livernois between Warren and Joy Road. And it was like, that was like the thing to do. And they kind of shut that down years ago. And so now these guys, they got these cars. These cars got all this power in them and everything. And they don't really, they want to show it off some sort of way. Like, they spent all this money to get this ride and they don't have anywhere to, like, show off the power of this ride and everything else. But I'll tell you something. I'll tell you one thing, man. One of the things that I think doesn't really get acknowledged, and one of the things I don't think people really can appreciate, is the fact that, like, yo, man, the internet is undefeated, and black folks can really make lemonade out of lemons, and sometimes you are blessed even though you don't know you being blessed. And so, because of what happened on this particular night, y'all know this shit then like inspired niggas to make rap songs and make t-shirts and everything. Let's go ahead and listen to a little bit of this right here. This nigga is jitting on the motherfucking live freeway. Yeah, man. You know. Sometimes you just don't know. You're going to be blessed in ways you're going to be blessed. Here's another thing, too, that I think is very interesting, man. I saw this, and I was just kind of... It was very interesting to me, right? So, like I said, there have been T-shirts made. As a matter of fact, if you look at the show art for tonight's episode, there's guys wearing We On The Lodge with the T-shirts. Those T-shirts were out like a day and a half after this shit went viral, right? After this shit hit the news. You got this song. There's another song that was played on YouTube that the news played. It wasn't as good as that mix that I was playing right there. But, you know, people are making music off of it. People are making T-shirts off of it. And one of the things that I thought was very interesting, man, is like, yo, how many people are waiting in the wings to make money off of your viral moment, right? Like, that young lady was talking about, like, we on the lodge with it, and now it's become such a catchphrase for what was happening in Detroit at that time. They're like, yo, people are actually making money off of this. The guy who created the Detroit versus Everybody shirts, I'm sure you've seen them because they're knockoffs all over the place. Now everybody's got a their town versus everybody shit. But like the guy who created those T-shirts, he decided to make We On The Lodge with the T-shirts. And you know, I just thought about the guy from what was that? It's Above Me Now, It's Above Me Now guy. And I thought about him for a second because there's actually T-shirts with It's Above Me Now, and I think it's some like one of those you know how you get those targeted ads on Facebook and shit. I think it's like Black Power or whomever those people are, and they usually have like the Afrocentric stuff, you know, like a lot of the Hotep stuff on their shit. But yeah, so like they already had It's Above Me Now T-shirts on sale, and people like, oh my God, I couldn't wait to get this. And I was just wondering, like, yo man, is the guy who was responsible for that being popular, did he get a dime off of the sale of that? You know what I'm saying? And the same way that this guy with the guy with the Detroit versus Everybody shit, like, he was on the news talking about some, you know, it was a snapshot of the city. It's my job as an artist to you know, make a snapshot of the city when it comes to the clothes. And I was just like, yo, is she gonna get a dime from the fact that like this dude is making money off of what she said in that video? Like, is she going to get a dime off of any royalties off of the sales of those shirts? Is she going to get a dime off of any royalties that anybody makes if they might make money off of the songs that are made using her voice and everything? I just kind of wondered about that, man. Like, the people who are going viral, is mostly people making money off of them, not the other way around. They're not even making money off of their own little moment. It's just kind of weird to me. But, yo, man, that has been, that has been the news, man. Oh, shit. But y'all do know what time it is.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
This nigga just say blue blazes. All right, our first story in blue blazes is, so we talked about the organizers of the Straight Pride Parade, right? We talked about them a couple of episodes ago. They were in the news because, of course, they were doing a Straight Pride Parade when, I mean, like, the world is mostly straight. But they're in the news again, and this time they're in the news because of the simple fact that they called in a bomb threat, and the bomb threat was over some goddamn glitter. All right, we're going to read this story here. This comes out of the BBC.com. It says the organizers of a so-called Straight Pride Parade in Boston have claimed to be the victims of terrorism after receiving envelopes full of glitter. What the fucking... Oh, shit. So three members of Super Happy Fun America called the authorities over envelopes filled with granular substance. The letters prompted a response from the FBI, three fire departments, and the bomb squad. The FBI is investigating, but says there's no threat to public safety. Super Happy Fun America's president, John Hugo, told NBC that what happened was an act of domestic terrorism. Samson Rossiapi, another member, said that he was immediately alarmed after shaking the letter and hearing a rattling inside. Rossiopi said that he told the other members of the group and discovered that John Hugo and Mark Shahady, the vice president, had received similar letters. Bomb disposal experts were sent to the Massachusetts town of Woburn, Salisbury, and Malden. According to the Lieutenant Robert Roy of the Salisbury Police Department, the substance of the envelopes was glitter. Oh, there's video attached to this. There isn't. So-called glitter bombing, covering someone in glitter, has historically been used as a means of protest against those who oppose LGBT rights. Politicians from the Republican Party, such as former presidential candidates Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney, have been glitter bombed in the past for their anti-LGBT views. Super Happy Fun America call themselves an advocacy group for straight rights, through members of the group have been found to have links to far-right and white nationalist groups. Of course they do. The city of Boston approved a permit for the controversial Straight Pride event to be held on August 31st, but the event still needs permission from the state police and licensing board, so they haven't even gotten that yet. The organizers say that they are inclusive of all, including LGBTQ people, and that the event is just about free speech. It's perfectly natural and normal to celebrate heterosexuality, and the parade is not being held at any expense to the LGBTQ movement. Right. So, yeah, man, they scared. They scared of glitter. And here's the thing that I think is very funny, right? So they find out that it's glitter in the letters, and they still go forward with the proclamation that they believe this to be domestic terrorism. Nigga, it is fucking glitter. You are not terrorized by glitter after you find out it was glitter, right? They want to be victims so bad. And it's funny because these are like these sort of actions, these are the same sort of people, the same kinds of people who will call you triggered when you say anything concerning what bothers you about what it is that they're doing. They have no qualms about calling you a snowflake, or, you know, I got someone, you're so triggered easily by everything that they say or do. But here, how could you not say that these guys aren't overreacting because of this, right? So yeah, man, that is in Blue Blazes. Another story that's in Blue Blazes, and this is a story that I think has a lot of people. And a lot of people were kind of talking about this over the course of the week, and so we're going to talk a little bit about this. So there was a young lady who was tapped to be Ariel in the Little Mermaid live-action movie, and she wasn't white. It was a black girl. People are losing their shit. We're going to read this story here. This comes out of Complex.com. It says that a racist Little Mermaid troll gets Twitter suspended after railing against Halle Bailey casting. Now, I know a lot of people was confused as shit before they had to read that shit like 3-4 times before they got it. It wasn't Halle Berry. It was Halle Bailey. But we're going to read this story. It says, like I said, it's coming out of Complex. It says, you can set your watch to the reaction of bigoted shitheels. It's not exactly surprising how punctual they are with their terrible opinions anytime a person of color does anything. Fortunately, that reliability means that they can be planned for, and the world has ready for when they came for Halle Bailey after she was cast as the lead in The Little Mermaid. The Chloe and Halle star casting in the upcoming live-action remake of The Little Mermaid caused at least one troll to go viral with a video of herself chucking a copy of the original film in the trash. The user got dunked into oblivion, with Twitter users tearing into her until the app itself swooped in to suspend her account. Another troll tried to use science to prove why mermaids, which happen to be mythical creatures, are white. Diana Huey, the Asian-American actress who played Ariel in the touring production of The Little Mermaid, suffered her fair share of racist backlash and came to the aid of Halle in a post on Instagram. She said that the supporters far outweigh the trolls. Now, here's the interesting thing, right? So, white people, listen to me. I'm going to need y'all to stop burning up y'all own property and acting as though that is hurting anybody but yourselves. Right? White people have this thing when they're upset. When they are upset and they want to let everyone know it, they will videotape themselves burning up the shit they already paid for. That's not how protest works. The company that you're protesting against already has your money. It's already paid for. They're over. They're done with you. They lose nothing. You lost what you paid for. You could say that you're not going to, you could say that you're not going to patronize them going forward. But yo, truth be told, like, I'm sure there's somebody there willing to take your spot. Like, I think when a company as big as Disney decides to make a decision like this, that they're going to cast a young black lady in the role of Ariel in The Little Mermaid. I think they already calculate that there's going to be some upset motherfuckers. I think that's just part of the, that's just like the landscape that we are in now. Like, there's going to be somebody who's irrationally fucking upset at the fact that Ariel, a fictional character, by the way, is being cast as a black girl. And here's the thing, like, and this is something that I remember, like, I don't want to say Gamergate, but I can remember years ago, like, there being this thing where, like, when Miles Morales was introduced in, for Spider-Man, and they were like, yo, why are we making all these characters, these white characters of color? Why are we miscasting them? You know, like, they were mad at, like, Valkyrie being cast as a black woman in Thor. They were mad at Idris Elba's character in the Thor movies. I forget what his name was in those Thor movies. I'm sorry, you know, I'm not that versed in the Thor shit. But I can remember, like, seeing people upset at the fact that they were casting black people in roles that were typically going to white actors, right? Or they would say, like, well, the characters are white in the comic book. Their characters are white in the canon. They're white and all these other things, right? And we lose the fact that they're like, yo, these people are fictional characters. They aren't real. They aren't real characters, right? And so, like, it's weird because... there are so many instances where white people have played people of color in movies, and we don't see the same sort of backlash on a large scale. I think we started seeing it a little bit when you would take, we start seeing a little bit when there will be white characters cast in roles of clearly ethnic people, and rather than cast someone from that background, they would put a white character, they would put a white actor or actress in that particular role, right? And this has happened on, like, for live people or people who really do exist, right? So there's this thing where, like, people were talking about, like, yo, so we should let some white actor portray Martin Luther King Jr. in the next movie about Martin Luther King Jr. as if that would ever make fucking sense. Because, yo, Martin Luther King Jr. was a real goddamn person. He was a real person. Someone said to, well, how about we cast a white character in the role of Black Panther, and y'all will see how it feels. And, like, well, there are stark differences in this, right? I don't know that the race of Ariel is even evident or, a part of her. I don't know if her race is even a part of her story, right? When it comes to, like, when, like, the story of Cinderella could be told in any color or any, you know, culture, that story could be told, and you don't even have to attach a race to it. We've traditionally seen it as a white actress because, yo, we live in a country where white people were the default in just about every fucking thing, right? So, and you had, like, for years, like, you little black girls have been who've grown up watching Disney movies, watching Disney princesses, and they've loved all these white Disney princesses. They went to all of these movies. They loved every last one of them. They didn't necessarily see themselves in these roles, but they still loved the characters because the race of the characters didn't necessarily dilute the story, right? It wasn't a part of the story. So to see white people have this backlash about whether or not this girl is right for the story, like, first of all, the girl can flat out fucking sing, which is also key to Ariel's story. Ariel loses her voice in the pursuit of Prince Eric for wanting to have legs. I mean, you know, it's a long time since I've seen The Little Mermaid, but as I'm familiar with it from, like, the 20 fucking years since I last saw it, yo, like, the girl could sing. She had an amazing voice, and the girl who they put in her role also has an amazing voice, right? So, like, it's just kind of weird to watch people kind of, like, be this upset about this, right? Also, like, just kind of going back into the whole thing with about, like, a white, you know, person playing Black Panther. Like, yo, the race of T'Challa, an African, in a country that is, like, kind of, like, set itself apart from the rest of the world. We know what the majority of the people look like in Africa, right? We know what an African prince in a country that was not colonized looks like in Africa. T'Challa's color is integral to the part his the story, the telling of his story, right? It in not the same way that Ariel doesn't even have, they don't even mention race in the fucking Little Mermaid. Like, he was talking about Tiana, like, the basis of the story kind of lends to why they are cast in that way. So, it's just weird, man, like, watching white people lose their shit over this when there's so many other things that they could be, like, worried about. Like, you know, I don't know, kids being locked up in cages or something, you know? It's kind of weird, man. But, yo, I think, you know, the casting of Hallie is probably a good one, right? Now, the other interesting thing, here's the flip side of that. The other interesting thing is that they were talking about in this live action movie casting Melissa McCarthy as Ursula, and like it was some black folks that was mad that Melissa McCarthy was cast as Ursula, or maybe cast as Ursula, and they were like thinking about all the black people who could have taken out on that role, and like, yo, Ursula was a black woman. I'm like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Ursula could that's the thing with these roles, man. Ursula could be whoever the fuck they put in that role, man. Like, here's another thing that I think is very interesting, right? Like, I remember when they first released pictures of Will Smith as the genie in the live action version of Aladdin, and people were like, whoa, man, I don't know about this shit. And he was blue. You know what I'm saying? People were just like, yo, Will Smith, what are you doing? He was blue. That movie has made more money than any other fucking movie Will Smith has ever been in. So maybe Will Smith knows a little bit more about this shit than we do. And I think to a certain degree, we're putting way too much stock in whether or not, you know, they put, you know, a person of color in that particular role. Now, don't get me fucked up when I say that, because I do understand that representation matters. And I also understand that there's a whole lot of black women. There's a whole lot of black girls who got their motherfucking life to seeing that there's actually going to be a black version of Ariel and the Little Mermaid. And they, again, they've grown up all their lives and they've seen all these Disney princesses and they were all white, Snow White and shit. Don't get me lying. Like, I know all the damn princesses' names, but you know, y'all know what I'm saying. Y'all know what I'm saying. I'm just like that. I'm ambivalent to the roles, but at the same time, I can recognize why people are happy. But I'm also just kind of looking at the people who are upset at who getting cast in these roles. Kind of looking at them like, man, what the hell is wrong with you? It's not that deep. But yeah, that is in Blue Blazes. Another thing that was in Blue Blazes, man, is Lil Nas X has been in Blue Blazes this week. And the reason why Lil Nas X is in Blue Blazes is because Lil Nas X decided that he was going to come out. And he came out to the world as a gay man. And you know what? Shouldn't matter to no motherfucking body. It really shouldn't. But yo, there was a whole lot of people, straight people in particular, who decided to take it upon themselves to now all of a sudden reinterpret what the damn song Old Town Road meant for them. Right? Because here's the thing. Let me read this story first. It says, and this comes out of Billboard.com. It says, Lil Nas X has opened up about his sexuality on World Pride Day, revealing to his followers on Twitter that he is a member of the LGBTQ community. He posted the video on it for his song Closure and urged fans to listen closely to the lyrics, writing, some of y'all already know, some of y'all don't care, some of y'all not gonna fuck with me no more. But before this month ends, I want y'all to listen closely to Closure and add in a rainbow emoji. Closure includes lyrics like, ain't no more acting, man. That forecast say I should let... Well, you know what? I think there was video to this. I'm not about to read all this. Let me pull this video up. Yep, there is video to this. So let me pull this video up so you guys can watch this right along with your boy. And here we go. Check it out, y'all. Oh, it's taking a little time to load up.
Pack my past up in the back, or let my future take a hold. This is what I gotta do, can't be regretting when I'm old.
Lil Nas X basically just said, oh, you didn't know? Yeah, duh, I'm gay. On Sunday, World Pride Day, the rapper took to Twitter to reveal he's a member of the LGBTQ community. Posting the video for Closure, Nas X urged fans to listen closely to the song's lyrics, writing, some of y'all already know, some of y'all don't care, some of y'all not gonna f*** with me no more. But before this month ends, I want y'all to listen closely to Closure, rainbow emoji. And if you actually check the track out, he is talking about letting go and being free.
It's my time to be free. It's like it's always what you like.
The The Old Town Road star followed up by tweeting the artwork for his EP7 side by side with another shot of the image zoomed in on a rainbow. He added, "Deadass thought I made it obvious." And for those who still weren't getting it, on Monday morning he shared a screenshot of a Google search asking, "What does the horse represent?" in reference to the Old Town Road lyric, "I got the horses in the back." The answer? Freedom.
I got the horses in the back. Horse stock is attached. Head is matted black. Got the bushes black to match.
Well, would you look at that? A gay black man is number one on the Billboard Hot 100 with a genre-blending smash mixing country and trap. It's freaking beautiful, man. For more on this story, head to Billboard.com. Until next time, for Billboard News, it's your girl, Jordan Rowling.
All right. So, like I said, there were people who felt like they needed to reinterpret the song for themselves. Like, okay, so what did he mean when he talking about ride till he can't no more? He must be talking about riding that dick. Like real ignorant shit like that, right? And it was weird because you already had like a staple of folks who aren't necessarily fans of the fact that the song is number one or have been number one. They don't really care for the song all that much. They think it's corny. They don't really get it. Like, you got old head motherfuckers like that, right? Then you got other people who were riding, like, they fuck with the song, but then once they figured out that he was of the LGBTQ community, all of a sudden they felt like, well, the song had a different meaning. And the song is still the same song that you were listening to. Like, you fuck with the song when you before you knew he was gay, and now all of a sudden you feel like you can't really ride with the song no more because you know he's gay. Like, that's just weird to me. That's just weird to me. Like, it's like, if you fucked with it before, you should still fuck with it now. Like, it was your jam. You know what I'm saying? It's not as if he went out and, like, you know, raped anybody. It's not as if he went out and harmed anybody. And he was talking about, you know, he talked about his rape and harming people within the song. Like, no. It's not the same thing as, like, you know, deciding, like, you know, you're not going to listen to R. Kelly anymore. You're not going to listen to Chris Brown anymore because Chris Brown is in the news, you know, lately, or he's along social media because of some of the things he said about black women and one of the songs that he just released on a new album he got. But, like, yo, man, it's like, it's just weird, like, kind of watching people twist themselves in knots to try to make something out of nothing. And, yo, Lil Nas X comes out as gay. It's an interesting time in hip hop, though, because you got a hip hop country blending song from an artist who's of the LGBTQ community, where for years an artist like Lil Nas X would have been like straight up thrown out of hip hop, shit, probably 10 to 15 years ago. So the fact that he's even able to be who he is, still have a number one song in the country, and still see the level of support that he's seeing, just kind of shows a bit of the growth that people are having across the board when it comes to their attitudes about the LGBTQ community. But at the same time, when you see some of the reactions that people are having, where they're like, yo, I don't know if I can listen to the song no more because now I know he's gay, it's like, yeah, you still got the ignorant motherfuckers in the back of the room. So yeah, man, that has been Blue Blazes.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
This nigga just say Blue Blazes.
All right, now it's time for our Proud to Be an American.
That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt.
All right, that's enough of that shit. We go to Proud to Be an American, and the first story we got out of Proud to Be an American is a Hawaii man paints his face black at a hearing for a life fucking sentence, man. God, hold on, man. I gotta get the right one.
God damn!
I gotta get the right one, man. So we're gonna read the story here. This comes out of abcnews.com. Is there a video? Because I would much rather it be a video than I have to read all that shit. Oh, man, this dude looks crazy. Oh, man, he painted his shit with shoe polish or something. No, there isn't any video attached to this, so let me go ahead and close that up. But let's go ahead and read the story. It says a Hawaiian man who painted his face black with a marker for his sentencing hearing has been ordered to serve life in prison. A judge sentenced Mark Shar Monday on a mandatory life prison term with possible parole for attempted murder, news organizations reported. Honolulu Circuit Court Judge Todd Edens also sentenced a 60-year-old to 5 years in prison for second-degree assault and 1 year for third-degree assault. Attorney Keith Shigatomi, who withdrew as Shar's defense lawyer after the hearing, said it was Shar's choice to appear with his face and black and head blackened. "You treated me like a black man, so today I am a black man," Shar told the judge. Shar continued talking and laughing after he told Edens that he was done with his priest's sentencing statement. A state jury found Shar guilty in March of stabbing three people in a road rage incident on a freeway in August 2016. Shar repeatedly braked in front of Justin Marlane's car before they both pulled into a median. Shar reversed and crashed into Marlane's car. Shar then used pepper spray against Marlane and his passenger, Dion Anuncion, and stabbed them. During the struggle, Shar bit and nearly severed two of Marlane's fingers. God damn. He also stabbed a passing motorist, Gene Nguyen, who tried to stop the confrontation. Shar claimed he acted in self-defense and called his trial a kangaroo court. "You're a menace to the public," the judge said. "This is not a kangaroo court. You got a fair trial." This motherfucker showed up in goddamn blackface. Let me pull this. Although there isn't video, let me at least pull this picture up so you guys can see it here in the chat room, man, because this shit is ridiculous, man. Hold on just a second. Let me pull this up so you guys can take a look at this man's face. Man, look at this shit. Just look at this shit. That's crazy, man. God damn. But he said he felt like he was being treated like a black man in the court. Maybe. I don't know. But judging by what they said the fuck you did, you probably getting exactly what the hell you deserve. So, yeah, man, that is in Proud to Be an American. Another story in Proud to Be an American, man, is this one involves your man's Colin Kaepernick. Again, man, Colin Kaepernick is in the news about being patriotic or being unpatriotic around the 4th of July. And, you know, that's like throwing red meat to these white conservatives, man. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of, let me see, let me pull this up. Where is it? Oh, okay. So, yeah, this comes out of BusinessInsider.com. And apparently the Arizona governor has decided to pull, like, tax incentives from Nike after they decided to pull back on the release of some Betsy Ross flag sneakers after Colin Kaepernick complained. But check it out, though. After he decided he was going to pull the funding from Nike because they didn't necessarily want to have those shoes out, he was then photographed at a campaign event wearing some goddamn Nikes.
Oh, that was different.
Right? So we're going to read this story. Like I said, this comes out of BusinessInsider.com. It says Arizona governor slammed for a photo showing him wearing Nike shoes 2 days after yanking incentives for a new Nike plant over Betsy Ross sneaker. So Arizona governor Doug Ducey, maybe Ducey, maybe both, is facing criticism online for a photograph showing him wearing Nike shoes on Thursday, 2 days after he yanked financial incentives for a Nike plant in response to the company's canceled Betsy Ross flag sneakers. The Concasino Democratic Party tweeted the photo on Thursday evening with the caption, "Wow, Doug Ducey standing on principle wearing his Nikes for the 4th of July." It says the group told Business Insider that the photo was taken at a 4th of July event in Forest Highlands, a gated community in Flagstaff, Arizona. In response to an inquiry about the photo, a spokesman for Ducey told Business Insider, "Really? Yes, the governor owns Nike. Stop the presses." The governor didn't call for a boycott. He said he didn't even say the company wasn't welcome to do business in Arizona. He said we should be respecting our flag, our history, and Betsy Ross. So let me understand this, right? We should be respecting our flag, our history, and Betsy Ross. So that means we should therefore sell shoes with the flag on them when there's the flag code says you're not supposed to have a flag on the shoes, or you're not supposed to wear the flag as apparel or clothing at all. Help me understand this. Like, if you guys are on the right leaning, and I know I have probably very few conservative listeners, but though for those of you who may exist in the Span Report podcast universe, help me understand how y'all reconcile you're not supposed to wear this as clothing per the United States flag code, and yet y'all are mad that companies are deciding to pull products that have the flag featured on them. And, you know, he says he doesn't call for a boycott, but so is there plenty of people who are. Plenty of people who are. It says some people on Twitter criticized the photo and called Ducey a hypocrite for wearing Nike shoes after attacking the company days earlier. On Tuesday, Ducey said in a series of tweets that he had ordered the state to rescind incentives for Nike to build a $185 million plant that would bring 500 jobs to Arizona. The incentives were worth up to $1 million, CBS News reports. Ducey said he planned to axe the incentives in response to Nike's decision to cancel the release of a sneaker featuring a version of the U.S. flag called the Betsy Ross flag that was created during the American Revolution. Arizona's economy is doing just fine without Nike, Ducey tweeted on July 2nd. We don't need to suck up to companies that consciously denigrate our nation's history. Here's the other part that I think is very interesting and is very telling about what we talk, how we talk about the history of America, right? Because we, what people like this Ducey guy want to believe, like, there's this romanticized version of American history. We don't want to talk about the ugly. We don't want to talk about the atrocious. We don't want to talk about the ugliness of how America came to be. It wasn't exactly like all valiant, all noble, all I don't know what's the word I'm looking for here. I don't know. It wasn't peaches and cream for everybody in the creation of the United States of America. The Native Americans were completely wiped out, and Africans were brought over here to do the work for no pay, right? So there were people who were also a part of the building of this country, but they don't necessarily get the same level of respect. They don't get the same level of recognition about the building of this country. And so when we talk about the history of this country, yeah, they want to kind of talk about, they're denigrating history, but there's so much more history involved in that they never want to discuss. So when he says that Arizona's we don't need to suck up to companies that consciously denigrate our nation's history, bringing up the fact that you're like, yo, during this time, this was also going on, isn't a denigration. It's just stating a fucking fact, right? Since Nike made the decision to halt distribution of the Nike Air Max 1 Quick Strike 4th of July, based on concerns that it could unintentionally offend and detract from the nation's patriotic holiday, the company said in a statement Tuesday afternoon. The Wall Street Journal reported late Monday that Nike pulled the shoes after the former NFL quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, who endorses Nike, said he found the flag design offensive due to his association with the time of slavery in America. So this is really what the problem is. This right here is really what the problem is. Their problem isn't necessarily the fact that Nike pulled the shoes. The problem is the fact that the name Colin Kaepernick is associated with the fact that Nike pulled the shoes. Because Colin Kaepernick is a lightning rod for those on the right. They use Colin Kaepernick as a boogeyman. Like, Colin Kaepernick is disrespectful to the flag because he decided to kneel, because he wanted to call into question police brutality and people knowing their rights, because he wore pig socks in reference to the police. Like, they can't stand Colin Kaepernick. So the fact that Colin Kaepernick's name is associated with the fact that these shoes were being pulled is all they need to get their fucking feels all riled up. That's all they needed. That's all they needed was to have Colin Kaepernick's name associated. Now, I'm sure that Colin Kaepernick wasn't the only one who complained about this. I'm pretty sure just because Colin Kaepernick says something, it doesn't move them. It doesn't move Nike to decide, like, you know what? We're going to, like, all this inventory of these shoes that we done shipped around the country already, we're going to not release these shoes just based on what Colin Kaepernick said. I'm pretty sure they probably spoke to quite a few other people who also had issues with this, especially considering that there are a lot of far right white supremacist groups who are also adopting the Betsy Ross version of the American flag as a symbol of their own. So if you already have far right white supremacist leaning groups who are deciding they want to adopt this as a symbol of their own, do you therefore make a shoe and legitimize them in that way until you can figure out a way to, like, kind of stamp those voices out? But because folks don't want to stamp those voices out, don't want to legitimize them, or they don't want to delegitimize them, then you have this sort of thing going on. You got this sort of backlash going on the conservative right. Now, here's the other interesting thing about this, right? So we saw what happened when Nike decided to announce that Colin Kaepernick would be a spokesperson, or he was be an endorser of Nike earlier this year. And you had a whole bunch of white conservative, far right leaning people talking about they would never buy Nikes again. Like, Nike was so far off their radar. They were done with Nike. They would burn all their Nike apparel. You know, that shit that, you know, white conservative people do. They burn their own shit. they were done with Nike, right? And Nike, it looked as though, hey, maybe Nike might take a hit. And then they didn't. Their stock prices went up. You know, the value of the company went up. In much the same way that this happened with this. As much talk as the far right has for you know, having a disdain for Nike. I think Nike also understands who their market really is for, and their market is really for is becoming more and more apparent that their market is really towards socially conscious younger people. Those are who they're really targeting. They're not really concerned with the older conservative crowd because, yo, you're not their market. You're not their target. They're not going after your dollars. They're going after the dollars of your kids. They're going after the dollars of those who care about these particular issues. And that's why Nike's value continues to rise in instances like this, is because they figured it out. Like, yo, if we were really going to be concerned with what these old white people were worried about, we'd never sell another motherfucking thing. But old white people don't set the trends as far as fashion, don't set the trends as far as athletics or anything like that. No, they don't. So Nike understands that, and Nike continues to push it forward and be a provocateur, so to speak, when it comes to speaking on these particular issues and using their products as a way to amplify the voices of those who have been somewhat marginalized in a way, although they're millionaires, but still. So yeah, man, that has been Proud to Be a Motherfucking American.
That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
All right, that's it for that. But it's almost time for us to get on up out of here. But of course, before we do, y'all know we got to do this.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
All right, we got our ass hat of the week this week here at the Spam Report Podcast. And our ass hat is none other than Judge James Troiano. Now, I know you guys don't know who the fuck James Troiano is. I didn't either until I heard about this story. But this story here comes out of New Jersey. And apparently Judge Troiano believes that a young man who decided he was going to videotape his first time having sex with a young lady who was knocked the fuck out deserved leniency because it would destroy his life to be convicted of rape. As a matter of fact, there's video attached to this. So let me pull this up so you guys in the chat room can watch along with us here. Let me pull that up. Let's see. Where is it? There we go. Check this out, y'all.
There's outrage this morning after a New Jersey judge ruled that a teenager accused of raping a girl at a party deserved leniency because pressing criminal charges could ruin that teen's life. Judge James Troiano said, quote, "This young man comes from a good family who put him into an excellent school where he was doing extremely well. He is clearly a candidate for not just college, but probably for a good college. His scores for college entry were very high. This all started in 2017 when a 16-year-old boy allegedly raped a 16-year-old girl at a party. The boy was also accused of filming the alleged assault. Prosecutors say that he forwarded the clip to several friends. One of them said it showed the girl apparently incapacitated by intoxication, her head repeatedly hitting a wall. Prosecutors also claim that following the incident, the boy sent a text message to his friend saying, quote, "When your first time having sex was rape." Goodness. Prosecutors asked the judge to try the 16-year-old as an adult. However, the judge denied that request, and he scolded prosecutors for not explaining to the girl and her mother the devastating effect that filing charges in adult criminal court would have on the boy's life. Last month, an appellate court reversed Judge James Troiano's decision. It is now up to prosecutors to seek an indictment in adult criminal court. Criminal defense attorney and CNN legal analyst Joey Jack.
All right. So, yeah, man, they actually had an appellate court actually had to overrule this judge as far as charging this kid as an adult. The reasoning that this guy used that it would destroy his life is that young lady's life hadn't already been traumatic and possibly destroyed in some form or fashion because of the actions of what this young man did to her is crazy. Not only did he rape her, but he videotaped it, and then he showed his friends, and then he talked about the fact that he raped her, right? This is the thing when we start talking about how we, you know, kind of socialize young men and everything else. The fact that he thought that this was okay. And the law was actually going, was sending a message to him that this was okay for him to do. He was out here pulling a Bill Cosby. The girl was knocked the fuck out. Didn't even know what the hell was going on. And then to have the humiliation of knowing that other people at the school saw her being violated in that way and nothing was happening in favor for her. Like, nothing good was happening for her. And she was the one who was the victim in this particular case, while the judge was looking at him, looking at this young dude, as though he was the victim because, yo, he came from a good family, he went to a good school, and he could probably go to a good college. Yeah, and he made a fucked up, terrible, devastating fucking decision to rape a young lady and to videotape himself doing it and to brag about it later on, right? So for that reason, man, like because of... Judge Troiano is a motherfucking ass had a week this week here at the Spare Report podcast, man. That shit is just fucking stupid.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ.
The champ is here. 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 The champ is here.
Right, our champ this week here at the Spin Report podcast is none other than Alison Brown. Now, I'm sure some of you may not necessarily know the name of Alison Brown, but you may be familiar with her actions were this week, right? So we get the story here. This comes out of Yahoo.com. It says a black family fired an independent contractor that they hired for a job after he drove to their home with a Confederate flag affixed to his truck. Alison and Zeke Brown of Atlanta, Georgia, man, of Atlanta, Georgia, hired the man whose name is Michael to replace the brakes on their golf cart. When he arrived at their home on Saturday, an enormous rebel flag was attached to his truck. So, oh snap, they took the video down. The Facebook post is no longer available. It may have been removed for privacy. Now, I know damn well. I know damn well the video was available. So, let me see if I can pull this up so you guys can watch with me here. And... here we go. Let's watch this all together, y'all.
You gonna do it?
You want me to?
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
You know what? I do apologize. I know you've come for a very long way, but we're gonna use someone else.
She's upset with the flag.
No, I'm beyond upset with the flag.
I can take it back.
No, you don't need to take it back. You continue to believe what you need to believe, sir. But no, I cannot pay you for your services. Thank you. Have a good day.
Old Chevy Blazer and that huge ass Confederate flag. Oh man. All right. So first things first, right? Let's applaud that sister for her calmness, right? In much the same way that like people were ready to when it came to the It's Above Me Now, when he was confronted with that racism and he just like, you know what, I can't serve you. There's room at the Best Western across the street. I can't let you get a room here. You called me a fucking nigger over the phone. It's Above Me Now. Like, people were more amazed at his calmness in that situation than anything else. And so I think what really shone through with this young lady was the fact that like she was so calm in her interaction with him. She didn't curse him out. She didn't raise her voice. None of that stuff. She just told him, like, you know what? I think we're going to go with somebody else. You don't even have to stop believing what you believe in. You don't even have to take the flag down for me, because the dude offered to take the flag down as if that would have made any motherfucking difference. But like, yo, we're not going to be able to use your services. Have a good day, right? And like, her husband, it's kind of iffy, man. Like, he comes out like, yo, she upset with the flag. Like, nigga, you should be upset with that flag too, though. You know, don't be like, your wife is telling you, like, I don't want to use him because of like this flag and shit. And I'm gonna read a little bit more to this. So it says, Michael offers to remove the flag, but Allison says, no, you don't need to take it down. You can continue to believe what you need to believe, sir. But no, I cannot pay you for your services. Thank you. Have a good day. Thousands watch the ring footage and noted Allison's decorum, much like Craig Brooks, a Holiday Inn Express employee like in Austin, Texas, whose polite rejection, "It's Above Me Now," to a customer who called her the N-word went viral last month. And then there's a bunch of like Twitter a bunch of Twitter reactions to what was going on. It says, initially unaware of Michael's arrival, Allison was cleaning out her closet when Zeke, her husband, walked into their bedroom and said, "God is testing me." Allison tells Yahoo Lifestyle, "When my husband told me about the flag, I said, let me handle this," adding that their college-age son fled the house, anticipating his mother's reaction. "I didn't want to be the angry black woman, but I wanted him to learn and feel that bottom line loss," she says. You don't go to Germany and wave the Nazi flag. It's the same thing. Zeke, a manager at a healthcare tech company, tells Yahoo Lifestyle that over the course of 3 days, he chatted with the man about work logistics over Facebook Messenger. He hadn't been disrespectful prior, so seeing the flag did not fit my preconceptions, he said. "The flag was absurd. I had to walk back into the house to calm myself down." Yeah, I hear you saying that now, bro, but when you got back outside, you were saying she was upset with the flag, not you, man. Like, that was some punk ass shit. Like, you so fucking upset that I gotta go back in the house and calm myself down. But when you get back outside to talk to the dude, you say, "Was she upset?" Come on, man. That was weak sauce, bro. That was weak sauce. After Michael left, he messaged Zeke saying, "I didn't know the flag offended y'all." In screenshots of the conversation on Facebook Messenger, share it with Yahoo Lifestyle, Zeke replied, "Yes, it is extremely offensive to anyone of color. I understand it is a part of American history, but that flag stood for a time in history where people such as myself had a very bad way of life. I hope this small interaction caused you to do a little more research on how several Americans feel about the Confederacy. I know it's part of history, so is Nazi Germany." Zeke tells Yahoo Lifestyle that he hoped the fire would be educational. "I thought there is hope for someone like him to have an opportunity to save him from his way of thinking," he says. "I wanted that flag off my property as one of the few black families in our subdivision. What would our neighbors think of the Confederate symbol in our driveway?" Michael, who was the guy who had the Confederate flag on his truck, says, he tells Yahoo Lifestyle that he's a redneck and that the flag is for the 4th of July. You could have flown the American flag. And here's the thing. Like, when it comes to this flag shit, man, like, it's kind of complicated, man. And people have their feelings about what the flag represents and everything else. But for you to go stars and bars, bruh. Like, for you to go that route, talking about that was for the 4th of July, understand that the Confederacy was fighting against the country that you talking about you celebrating their independence. like, you couldn't possibly be talking about celebrating the 4th of July with the stars and bars, man. They were fighting against your country. The South lost, man. The Confederacy lost. That's why you are still an American, because the Confederacy lost. Like, I don't get it. Like, the losers of that war are glorified in such... I mean, I do get it, and I get why. I understand the history as to why. I understand, like, how there can be years later people in the South still looking at that symbol as something to be prideful in when it utterly is not, right? I can understand now, having kind of studied a little bit about why these symbols still persist within American culture. But yeah, man, to say that you were putting that on your truck for the 4th of July is just a crock of shit. It says, "My little siblings bought it from a flea market," he says. "I don't support slavery, and neither do my siblings, but the Confederacy did, and if you're flying their fucking flag, then goddamn it, you support those things. But I'm not going to take it down when my siblings ask me to fly it. If the family wants to take offense, they can. They did, and they didn't pay you no fucking money, and you had to go back home." So, yeah, that's what it is. But, yo, Allison Brown is a champ of the week this week here at the Span Report Podcast, man. Real talk. Yo, it is time for your man Span to get on up out of here. I've been running my mouth for quite a bit. But, of course, before we leave, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us over here at the Span Report Podcast to let your voice be heard. You can go ahead and hit us up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Those voicemail messages, of course, I will replay those messages here on the show or respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave us those emails. Of course, we will read those emails here live on the show and respond to you live here on the show as well. Follow your man Span here on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr. _Span. So go ahead and follow me there. Chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. Also, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews will be read here live on the show. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. It takes 2 minutes to tell everybody why you're fucking with us over here at the Span Report Podcast. And also, it doesn't take you It doesn't cost you a dime, man. Just 2 minutes of your time. So we really do appreciate everyone who leaves those 5-star reviews. We really do love those things coming through here. Also, hit us up on the website, www.thespanreport.com. You can go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments on the website. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. Of course, we appreciate every dime over here at the Span Report Podcast Network. You can become a Patreon patron of the Span Report Podcast Network. Hit up our Patreon and become a patron to help us move the show from Facebook over to Crowdcast, man. That is our preferred platform, and we really do appreciate everybody who's helping us with that. So go ahead and donate to the show. And that's one way for you to kind of help us out here with the donate tab, and also with your comments and with your votes in those polls and everything on thespanreport.com. We really do appreciate everybody who goes there and does that. But yo, it is time for your man Span to roll up on out of here. I will talk to you guys again soon, really soon, because we got some Baywatch episodes coming up really soon here. We got to catch up on our Love at the Lockup recap. So, yo, we got that going on, and then we got the Beer and Chicken coming up Sunday. So, yeah, man, I'll be talking to you guys real soon. So, until next time, fam, peace.